Sports Talk New York with your hosts Mark Rosenman and AJ Carter. Sports Talk New York is sponsored in part by Prince Associates, Send in the Clowns, the Phoenix Tube Company, CelebrityTrips.com, the law firm of Decalator Cohen and DePrisco, Solomon Jewelers, and Relish Restaurant of Kings Park. Here are your hosts, Mark and AJ.
Joining us now is a man who started playing baseball at the age of 10 years old. After serving in the Israeli Defense Forces, he played at San Diego Mesa College, becoming only the second Israeli to play college baseball. While in college, he improved his fastball by 12 miles per hour from 66 miles per hour to 88. Transferred to UC San Diego his junior year, he led the staff in ERA. After college, he stayed in the United States, teaching at a Jewish school, then working as a music programmer for City Winery in New York. He returned to Israel to play for the Netanya Tigers in the 2007 Israeli Baseball League, going 3-1 with a save and a team-best 0.98 ERA. No pitcher with five innings or more had a better ERA in the whole circuit. And believe it or not, AJ, this is a very weird trivia question for you.
Okay.
You know, how many Netanya Tigers do you think have appeared on WLIE Sports Talk?
Three.
This will be our second, believe it or not. I don't think there's a radio station in the United States that can make that claim. All right? So he's the second to appear on Sports Talk New York. It is a pleasure to welcome City Winery music director by night, Israeli's biggest baseball star by day, Shlomo Lipitz, to WLIE Sports Talk New York. Welcome, Shlomo.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. So I guess my first question is, which is more difficult, booking and coordinating acts like Rufus Wainwright, David Byrne, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Sinead O'Connor, Greg Allman, Jackson Brown, Paul Simon, The Roots, Macy Gray, as your job as a national programming director overseeing bookings in all cities and creating exclusive multi-city city winery tours where each location boasts over 320 shows annually, or trying to throw a strike in a pressure-filled game?
Tough one. It's today is a probably bad day to ask the question, considering we're supposed to start a 10-night run with Greg Allman.
Right.
And just heard last night at about 8 o'clock that he's canceling the first two shows and just dealing with that. So today and last night probably booking shows. Otherwise, I don't know. I'll take booking shows being harder than throwing a strike in a high-pressure situation.
Right. As one of two native Israelis on the team, having pitched for Israel in 2013 as well as in the 2008-2011 European Championship qualifiers and playing in the IBL, I have to imagine being on the team that qualified to play in the WBC this year must have added meaning for you. What was the experience like, considering everything you've been through with Israeli baseball?
Oh, man. Well, both were really extraordinary experiences. I mean, I'll start with the 2007. You know, when I left Israel to play baseball in the United States, they still did not have a mound built. I would be pitching off flat ground, or there was this electric pole in Tel Aviv in the Sportik, which is the soccer field we played baseball on, where I used to just climb on and just throw the ball a little bit. So coming back 5 years later, and to be able to play in the IBL in front of 2,000 Israelis on a real baseball field, that was probably the height of my baseball experience up until 2013. And obviously up the whole ante with playing for the World Classic qualifiers. I mean, two totally different experiences, two amazing experiences to be able to experience as someone who came from Israel, which, as you probably all know, is not really a baseball empire.
Yeah, it's not San Pedro de Macorís by any means at all.
No.
Now, when I spoke to you in Coney Island, you stated that the team there was the greatest Jewish baseball team ever assembled. Now that the team is qualified, it's conceivable that you can get guys like Jock Peterson, Ryan Braun, Ian Kinsler, Kevin Pillar, you know, Scott Feldman, Ty Kelly could be added. You mentioned what it was like playing in Israel where they didn't even have a mound over the last few years. Baseball in Israel is expanding because of tournaments like this. So what do you think having a team with these players, along with Ike Davis, Cody Decker, Jason Marquis, wearing the Israeli jersey, will do for the sport back in Israel?
Well, it's tricky. It's not that simple. You know, if baseball had a large exposure and a large platform to be presented in Israel, then this would have created a much bigger splash as is. But the more challenging thing is really not only assembling the team, but really trying to create and to see through initiatives like Peter is trying to do in December in Israel, where it's actually bringing the players that participated, bringing the big league players, bringing the people that the players that could that have this appeal to the youth, and bring them back to Israel and creating that excitement at Israel. Because, you know, baseball is not really let's put it this way: you don't see the box score of a major league day in the Israeli paper, right? Obviously, the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series after 108 years made the papers everywhere, but there's not that awareness. So while for Jews in the United States and for everyone who's following baseball around the world, it's exciting that we put together this team, the second half of this whole operation to be able to really achieve what we're all hoping, which is, you know, increasing the enrollment in baseball leagues in Israel and creating that next generation of players. We need to bring players back. We need to be able to capitalize and find people who could give us money to build a baseball field. So when a, you know, 13, 14-year-old athlete who's you know, choosing between baseball or basketball could say, hey, I don't mind playing baseball because look at all these cool players, look at all these cool opportunities for me to then go and play college baseball in college, and look at this cool field, and look at this cool clubhouse. Whereas right now, it's still there's really no facilities, still, and kids don't have those role models. You know, the thing that people keep asking me, you know, what do you think is the one thing that really is going to push baseball over the top in Israel? It's creating these role models. Can you imagine a 13 or a 10-year-old kid in the United States not being able to watch baseball on TV and not to be able to choose his favorite player, to be able to say, I want to pitch like this guy, I want to be like this person? I mean, that's a big part of creating the next generation of players.
Well, the interesting thing is, though, when you mention that, there's different sets of values here in the United States as opposed to Israel, because every, you know, boy in Israel knows at some point in his life he's going to have to serve in the military. So how much of that takes away from the dream of someone possibly, you know, committing his early childhood to try and get to be a major league player, when knowing that he's going to have to serve time in the Israeli military, and by the time his military service is up, you know, I don't know how many teams or are looking for an older player at that point.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. When I started college, I was 22 years old. The reason why I was able, as you mentioned in the top of the show, to bring up my velocity so much within so little time is because I was never in a place where I could throw every single day and increase it. That problem that you mentioned with the military and having basically someone stop your career at the height of your career when you're turning 18 is a problem that all sports in Israel face. Right. Now, luckily, and I was part of the first baseball player who got that in Israel, there is a program that is called, it's a special program for outstanding athletes, and you have about 40 or 50 athletes a year that are allowed to basically serve close to home and allowed to continue to go play for the national team and leave the country and work out throughout your military service. And by doing that, basically still allowing you to play your sport and not completely stop playing. So it's challenging, but it's a challenge that is, again, for all sports in Israel, and is something that is part of our reality. Now, remember, if there's some kind of prodigy that grows within the ranks, and one of the kids that we send out to the Major League International Baseball Camp every year, there's a MLB Academy that Israel has been sending a couple players every year. If there's a 16-year-old prodigy, you know, the same thing like over here, you could probably postpone your service for 3 or 4 years, and who knows, maybe go and go to college for 3 years and get drafted, and worst comes to worst, come back when you're done and do your service then. So it's much more flexible now than it was, let's say, 15 years ago, where no matter what happens, you do have to do your 3 years military. Like you said, playing every single day until you're 18 and then stopping to play for 3 years and go serve for the Army is not really the best for
conducive to making
improving
it,
your
right,
qualities.
Right.
Yeah, you know, although you know, in some positions you probably could use catch some rocks and, you know, do some other creative right, things, but really not a program that you would normally see in college or Pro Bowl.
We're talking with Shlomo Lipitz here on Sports Talk New York. Shlomo, you talked a little bit about bringing players to Israel as role models. How much does it take to increase the popularity in Israel to not have people from the United States, famous Jewish players, come, but to actually have a homegrown hero actually comes and makes it big here in United States baseball?
It's big. You know, I think coming from a small country and playing a sport that was really not a popular sport, I remember when in Little League, when I was playing in Israel, the IAB bought a couple of big league players. I think Finley came 1 year, and just, first of all, seeing a professional athlete. You know, we all know that Jews are not known for their oversized, you know, physique, right? So seeing a professional baseball player, 6'3", throwing smoothly and just looking like a baseball player, that was huge for me. And you mentioned that I was the second baseball player who ever played, you know, college ball. The first player was Dan Rotem. I mean, even someone who was 2 years from me, someone that I could see, hey man, I could do this. I could aspire to play college ball. And when I moved to the States, it may sound weird for an American kid who's playing ball. My dream from age 10, call me a weirdo, was I want to play college ball. I never even had in my mind I want to play pro ball. So now, having more and more kids playing college ball and going back home every year and putting together clinics, and now, you know, when I wanted to watch a baseball game when I was growing up, I had to stay up till midnight on a Saturday night to be able to tweak those old antennas that you connect to the TV to be able to see a recorded game 3 hours after it was played on the Lebanese channel. You know, now you turn on ESPN or you stream games. That's not an issue. So every single thing that we do, if it's myself coming back, if it's alone, if it's Nate Fish spending a couple of years, if it's Josh Zide, which I know you guys just talked with, if he comes back in December and talks with those kids and gets them excited, that's all you need. You know, when you're a kid, you just need that spark to get you motivated to work one extra hour after practice and to be able to, throw that ball 50 extra times and swing that bat 100 extra times every day, and that's what makes the difference.
Now, you mentioned as a kid seeing those major leaguers, you know, gives you that inspiration. For you, a player that was not drafted, didn't play minor league ball, what's it like to be teammates with Jason Marquis, a pitcher who has a World Series ring, he's been an All-Star, he's won over 100 games in the majors. So what's it like for you as an adult to be a teammate with him? Does he push you to practice harder?
I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Marquis, because I got to spend a lot of time with him the 2.5 weeks that we were together. And, I mean, you want to talk about a professional player who has a work ethic and is intense. He was the oldest player. I was the second oldest player after him. He's, I think, 5 months older than I am. He's, not that I want to date him, he's 38 and a half, I think, and I'm approaching 38, but that guy is intense. That guy knows the game. I mean, he was taking ground balls in the infield and showing off infielders, saying, "So you know what? They should be afraid. I'm going to take their job." You know, you hear about these players, right? And you say, "Okay, well, what makes two players that have the same talent? What makes one player make it and one not?" Spend 2 days with that guy, you understand why he made it and why he's still competitive and why he was still able to perform for us in a really big way and get those two wins, even though he's kind of was out of the game for the past year. So That was an extremely inspirational thing for me, and to be able to, like you said, to be able to be me who's never played pro ball, to be able to hang out with someone like that was a huge privilege and a lot of fun.
To merge your two worlds here, I have two last questions for you. If you had to pick a musical artist who musically matches your style of pitching, who would it be and why?
Oof. Weren't you supposed to be preparing for these questions? No, I'm kidding.
Didn't Donna Brazile give you the answer, the questions before?
I must have missed that email. Well, you know, for me, I just, you know, if I had to describe, let's say, you know, my pitching style, I'm not going to overwhelm you with a fastball. I'm not going to throw something that's so dirty. I know my limitation. I'm going to just start the bat and get people out that way. Unfortunately, if you're a musician and you're probably, you know, you're not a shredder on the guitar and you don't have the top of the best voice in the world, I'm not sure if you could sell 10 million records, right? So, hard question. I'll pass.
Okay. So, all right. So let's make this one a little easier. All right. If the WBC came to you, made you the music director for Pool B and Soul Career, and you got to choose three musical artists to sing the national anthems for the three pool games, who would they be?
Let's see. See, with Jewish players, it's different. When we're on the road with the Israeli team, you know, when we're not on WBC and we're actually playing, there's a lot of Israeli music playing. So you'd probably one of the funniest things that's a side story related to this. You know, part of our so to speak role of the Israelis on the team was really to be able to spread some of the Israeli culture over the American players who don't really have that much connection. So a lot of, as we call in Hebrew, musica mizrachit, which is kind of a really uplifting traditional Israeli music. So definitely get someone traditional Israeli to sing it with a heavy Hebrew accent just because it's funny. Then, let's see. I wish we had Prince was still around because I would want to see him just kind of shred the really natural, just see how it sounds on the guitar. It's usually such a depressing for those who know the Israeli anthem. It's a very depressing sounding song. Let's see. It's hard, actually. If you want to ask me what wines you want me to pair with music, it's probably easier for me to do it.
The answer is you want to get three Klausens to do it.
Well, we you know, in Brooklyn, it was, you know, we didn't have, we definitely were not short of Hasidic Jews singing the tikva. That was pretty funny.
Right. That was the one.
You know, everyone has their, you know, their pre-recorded national anthem, and just when for the Israeli national anthem, you have, like, you know, a chorus of 15 Hasidic kids all singing alongside some keyboardists. So you definitely want to do that. I mean, I'm just excited to be part of that team again in Korea and just to see the excitement around it and talking with people and hearing people's stories about, you know, playing in Korea and playing in that environment is probably really unreal. And again, I'm sure that they've not had the chance to host too many teams from Israel or teams that bear the Israeli flag. So looking forward to experiencing that.
Now, you have some great shows coming up at the City Winery this month. Greg Allman later during the week, obviously not the first 2 days. Jack Rabbit Slim himself, Steve Forbert, and my very good friend Willie Nile, actually this month, which I may have to make a stop down to see Willie that night. Where's the best place for people?
Oh, man, he's the best.
Yeah, Willie's actually played my house and my birthday party. So Willie's a very good friend, and I might have to make a trip down that Wednesday night when he's playing. Where's the best place for people to keep up with you and your baseball life, as well as all the great things happening at the City Winery?
You know, anyone who's a victim to the social media, you know, I don't post too many selfies on my Facebook, but I do post the baseball schedule and I do post photos of the show. So just, you know, Shlomo Lippitz Facebook. I'm on Shlomo Music on Instagram. If you want to go to my website, shlomomusic.com. And, of course, I'm always wandering around the aisles and trying to entertain people in book shows at City Winery down on Varick Street. You know, we have locations in New York, Chicago, Nashville, and Atlanta. Ask for me and you'll get 50 cents off your first glass of wine.
All right, so AJ and I might have to make the trip down to see Willie into the city. Shlomo, thanks so much for your time tonight. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having us. Thanks for supporting us. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure.